And listening to the Lord, who does teach his children day by day love's sweet lesson. Today we're going to receive a lesson from Jesus, and it's recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. Mark chapter 9, as you're turning there, I will note that we are picking up in a series in this Gospel. We plan to get through chapter 9 into next month, but today we look at only three verses, Mark 9, verses 30 through 32. And when you hear them, you might think, yeah, I already know this. Pretty basic stuff. At least if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll say, yeah. So you can ask yourself as you hear if there is something in these verses that you still need to hear. Hear the word of the Lord. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us your spirit so that we can hear this word with understanding and without fear. Lord, today through this word, teach your disciples gathered here, your children, your sons and daughters, so that we might grow in the grace that you give in Jesus' name. Amen. Grant called this week. Remember Grant, the summer intern? He got back to school. And college kids, know some of those too, just drove back to school. Coram Deo teachers were milling around in the building this past week. Why? Because it's time to go back to school. Again. This is when the peoples go back to school. Oh, how suddenly and how subtly summer morphs into spending sprees on pencils and peaches and plain pocket jeans. Are you ready to go back? Are you ready to go back to school to learn? And maybe you say, well, I'm kind of old for that. Maybe you say, no, I've learned that learning never really ends. I'm always learning and gleaning and churning and pondering and processing and listening and discovering and revisiting and remembering. Schooling's a way of life, you say. Is that what you say? Is that what you see? In Mark's gospel here, this is a back-to-school lifestyle. It's a lifetime process, it turns out. Discipleship. We have what we call the disciples on display here. Students, learners. And in Mark's narrative, it's very clear that these select students find things quite unclear often. Even the basics need repeating. And of note, on at least three occasions, God tells his students God's plan. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. That's pointed out in chapter 8, chapter 9, which is where we are now. In chapter 10, it comes up again. It's a prophetic word, that's for sure. It's very precise. It's very plain in its talk. It's very practical. It is like Christianity 101. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ. Here's the lesson plan about new life. The students here are struggling to craft a category of a crucified Christ, a Messiah who bleeds and dies. Do they trust the Master? Do they trust the Master's plan? Do they even believe the lesson as planned? Do they believe that Jesus is the substance of the message? We have three verses here, and in them the teacher is reviewing something that you already know, I hope. It's revealed to us again as a divine work. This is a work of God, and we're going to walk through it a little slowly, even though you say, I already know all this. Because remember, learning is a lifetime process, even for disciples. So let's look at this revealed word in Mark's account. We'll look at it as revealed in private, and then in particular, and then at least for these learners that day, in progress. So that's really the outline for today. The lesson plan is revealed in private, in particular, and as something in progress. You're a student of the Word of God? You say, yes, I am. I'm a learner, student of the work of God. You need to hear this. And first of all, let's look at the setting of the lesson plan. It's revealed in private. First point, look with me at verse 30. They went on from there. So this would be the territory of Herod Philip. They, the disciples and Jesus, they went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples. And I want you to see how very deliberate this is. You would expect that if it's scripture. But we've got a travel plan and a lesson plan. See that? They're going back to school. You could say private school. This is happening in private. Jesus, the teacher, he desires privacy, and he designs it. He designs privacy. See that? It's time to go back to this private setting, away from the public. In a way, the setting has already been set in verse 28 before this. They had a debriefing about their failure in healing the boy, if you were here for that sermon a while back. See that in verse 28. They asked him privately. And now here, reading on in verse 30, the private lessons continue. They return to Galilee, only this time. The purpose of the trip is not to stay there. It's not for the purpose of resuming a public ministry. No, that's over. This time, the teacher's desire, very specifically, is to go unnoticed. He did not want anyone to know where he was, Mark tells us. And he even tells us why, verse 31. See that? For he, Jesus, was teaching his disciples. I think, say, Pastor, you're belaboring this. Well, am I? So I want to point this out. You mean Jesus meant to exclude people from the kingdom lesson? And someone say, that's not fair. That's not loving. Why didn't Jesus take everyone back to school? Well, again, verse 30, because he was teaching his disciples. He wanted to take them away from the crowds, concentrate on this lesson plan again. The teacher had a plan, and these students were in a privileged position to hear it. They were in a privileged relationship. They would receive the private education on purpose. And you could ask yourself, well, why them? Is it because they're so smart that they scored really well on the rabbinical studies tests? They earned a way into Rabbi Jesus' class. Their scores were high. They understood the prophecies. They understood the kingdom of God as it unfolded. And hardly. It's a repeated theme as we step back into the gospel. I remind you that Mark is very clear about how obtuse the 12 are. They don't get it. Here's the lesson plan again. Seems to be over their heads, or maybe mixed up inside their head. They had different ways of looking at what the Christ would be. Remember Peter, if you glance back, Peter just confessed, "You're the Christ." A suffering Christ? A resurrected Christ? What? What are you, teacher, what kind of curriculum is this? Now, I could ask another rhetorical question. Did Jesus know the future? Yes. Did Jesus know that these followers right here would be the ones to advance the message of the Christ and his kingdom? This group of students, he did know that. And so the training is very intimate. It's select. It's specific. It's in private. They left that place. They passed through Galilee, verse 30. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. If you've ever had private lessons, you could ask yourself, did those pay off? Private lessons maybe for pitching baseball or golf. So you pay someone to teach me how to do that shot. A tutor for math, private. I took private clarinet lessons. They helped until I quit. Very focused instruction from an instructor who knew the clarinet and someone who knew not only clarinet, he knew Craig. He knew the skills I had and the ones I did not have, and so he could focus on what I needed. It's private and personal for a reason. And it's a privilege. As verse 31 lays it out, the teaching here would be about the divine work. That's very particular. That leads us to a second point. This teacher reveals a divine work not only in private, but in particular. Look at me where we left off. Saying to them, again the 12, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. As disciples today, you say, I know. Okay, been over that. And as readers of this gospel, you can say, yeah, I know. We just heard that last chapter. It was in chapter 8. It's a very particular word. And in a way, Peter, James, and John heard a summary of it in the Transfiguration. If you glance back, verse 12 of chapter 9, this is a lesson plan. God's plan, his work, is very particular. How many of you find that you need to have things repeated? How many of you find that you need to have things repeated? And how many of you are even grateful for the repetition? For example, remember your flight leaves at 6:15, not 9:15. Oh, that's right. Thanks for the reminder. I could have blown it. Or, now remember, I told you I was going to be gone next week. They say, oh, I thought you meant the week after that. No, next week. Next week. Oh, that's different. Or maybe you've seen, it's practically a Christian meme. I haven't seen the actual t-shirt, but it's a t-shirt that says, it's in the bulletin. And then under that it says, been there for weeks. Touché. We forget things, and sometimes we don't just forget, we just get confused. Again, mixed up in the head, things get turned around. Maybe we're preoccupied when we heard something, or we got a preconceived notion of the way that conversation was going, and say, oh, I thought you meant you're going to be gone the week, and I thought you were going to be home in order to paint the garage. That's what I heard. That's not what I said. Or with the image of school already placed before us, I could ask, how many of you have never... And you might be in the room. How many of you have never had to be one? The test is coming up, and you don't need to look at your notes ever again. Are you one of those people? You sat in class? You were there? Review. What do you mean? The test comes up. Compare and contrast the theories of Marx, Newton, and Kierkegaard. Yeah, no problem. I was at that lecture that day. Total recall for those names. I got this. Once is enough. twice is an insult? Is that how it works? No need for review. Plus, is hearing with the ears necessarily the same as understanding the message? You say, I heard that, teacher. Very good. I got it. What's next? The students on this day were the students of Jesus. And Jesus speaks his word, the lesson plan. What are they learning in particular about the divine plan that's revealed in the Son of Man, revealed here by the Son of Man? Jesus repeats the message in particular, and here it is about his passion. And the precise word that Mark uses here is helpful. It might stir some sort of, you know, people say everything's interpretation. Yeah, whatever. The way it's translated here is that the Son of Man is going to be delivered up or delivered into or handed over. And the action here is envisioned as something that's as good as happening right now, even though it's this part is going to take place in the future. But it's something that's going on. And I point this out partly because the NIV translates the word here as betrayed, that the Son of Man will be betrayed. And so that can make you think, oh, well, then this is talking about the subject of the verb must be Judas, the betrayer, right? And Judas did betray his master. And that handing over was a deliberate evil act of treachery. There's no doubt about that. And for this act, Judas received his comeuppance, his judgment. But with that noted, in this setting, the handing over, the word used here, the delivering up of the Son of Man, points most directly, most profoundly, not to something that Judas did, but God. This is what God was doing. This is the plan. God would be the one who would bring about this delivering up. This would be the initiative of the Almighty. And it would be because it's his plan. The plan to save a world that's hostile to him. How? Through the delivering up of his own Son. That's the plan. It's always been the plan. You got this one? And in a Jewish setting, the handing over, this is an important concept. It could be used in lawsuits or even in martyrdom. But the activity that's viewed here is that God is the one controlling the action, that he's going to fulfill his deep purpose in circumstances like that. And the scripture, of course, speaks of this in different places. In fact, the wording here in verse 31 may well have a very deliberate echo to Isaiah 53, where we hear of the servant of God, the suffering servant. He's going to have wrath poured, he's going to be crushed for our iniquities. That's done by the hand of God. That's the plan. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, his servant, the prophet says. That's the plan. That's the storyline. And we look in the New Testament. What's the plan? We got this divine work. Romans 8 might come to mind for you. Paul writes, verse 32, he, the Father, who did not spare his own Son, ready, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? And then he adds, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. It's the work of God. It's the word of God. It's the pleasure of God, the plan of God. He's faithful to carry out the plan. And this it appears to be a very deliberate wordplay that the disciples understood later. You see it here in verse 31. We have into the hands of men would the Son of Man be delivered. So it's like a turning of a phrase. It's as though that these are set right next to each other. You have the fallen men and the Son of Man. You got the sinners and the Savior set right next to each other, purposefully doing their work, and God's plan is carried out. You're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, and I'm getting my plan. I'm going to defeat the enemy and reverse the curse from Genesis this way. By my hand, my action, handing over my only son to be killed, and after 3 days, rise again, verse 31. See that? It's stated so plainly, so simply, and so repeatedly. The teacher repeats the plan, reveals the plan, both in private and in particular. And what his students could hardly have known, but he did, was that they had effectively just turned a very significant corner in the travel plan. Even now, as he spoke, the Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they were going with him. They would see these events unfold with their very eyes, so much so that even if they did understand this delivering up as something that Judas did alone, they still have to ask themselves, well then, was that also in the plan of God? Was Judas going rogue? Did the Lord see that coming? Teacher, is this in the course manual? Even betrayal and delivered up. And death, yes. It's all part of the plan that brings you salvation, that sets you free. And the resurrection that follows, it takes place as revealed, verse 31. It's revealed there. It's the redemptive plan. Students of the Word of God to this day understand this. They hear it. They receive it. It's a divine teaching. The lesson plan. It's the Lord's plan. And you know, what's possible is that even as you hear these words of gospel truth today, even as we review them, the very basic teaching, the 101, if you will, that there's some notion that, and we go over this from time to time, and I don't want you to misunderstand, but the idea that I don't really need to hear this one again. The evidence here is that you do. I do. In 3 straight chapters, Jesus tells the 12 the same thing. Week after week, from this pulpit, you'll hear something like these verses again and again. You're okay with that. And sometimes we think, well, no, because what I really need, Pastor, is I need advice on how to raise perfect children. Okay? Or how to get along with my spouse. How to manage my feelings. How to bring more joy into my life. In 3 easy steps. As though all of those things are not connected to this plan, as though the gospel is not related to your marriage and your children and your joy and your job, your feelings. Jesus finishes this work. He gives you his grace. You say, I know that too. And yet here we gather as God's people, called by him to worship again. And next week you'll hear a call to worship again. And the week after that you'll hear that again. And you'll hear good news about the Christ who's crucified, risen, and exalted. And I'll remind you again that the gospel is for you. It's for we. It's the gospel's for people in this room, not just for people outside of this room. And the more we hear and understand and grab hold of these basic truths, we will understand ourselves better and our desires and our relationships and our struggles and our questions in life, because the gospel speaks to every area of life. And as good students of Jesus, you know that. You would get that right on the test. Does the gospel relate to every area? Yes, it does. So why do I need to hear it again? We tend to forget. And in some cases, not just forget, as though it left our mind or left our faith, left our heart, but because we get confused, we get distracted, we get preoccupied, like I mentioned earlier, and we hear something else or we seek something else, and we want an instruction that isn't part of the plan, really. And come up with our own plans as we go back to school. It's a basic lesson plan. The private word, it's very particular too. We've been over that. And as we see here, I'll just remind you real quickly, it's also in progress. It certainly was on that day. And this is the final point. This divine work revealed as a work in progress. If you look with me at the last verse that we read, verse 32, Mark tells us this. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. If you stare at that long, I have to think, okay, well, how would you illustrate that, or what does that even mean? So, like back to school. If this sounds at all familiar, if you're a student, maybe you can relate with this. You've got the teacher, professor, whoever the important person is, with a chalkboard maybe, or a whiteboard or something, and writing something and circling it. Okay, there you think, this might be on the test. This might be a big deal. It's circled. And we've seen that a few times in class already. Key point. But I still don't understand it. Have you ever been that person? So what do? You say, you raise your hand, teacher, I don't get it. Or do you sit on your hand and think, I'll figure it out later. I'll ask someone, because I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to look ignorant in front of anybody. Because of fear of something, fear of others, fear of your own feelings, rejection, whatever. And once again, in these verses, Mark features confusion of the class. He features their failure to understand and their fear. Even their fear for asking the teacher for an explanation. Did Jesus tell them the plan? Yes, he did. And that plan itself is a work in progress because, remember, they're still on their way to Jerusalem. The things that Jesus just said haven't happened yet. And yet there's something inside the student that hasn't happened yet. What's being done inwardly? The work in progress. Verse 32 points to this lack of understanding, really a lack of faith and fear. We could speculate on what the fear was exactly. Mark doesn't specify. What were they missing this time? What were they frightened so much about this time? Maybe they were afraid of revealing, once again, their ignorance, their confusion. Maybe they feared another rebuke. Again, if you're following the gospel in chapter 8, things took a hard turn on Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Whoa. I don't want to hear that again. Or how about this? Again, speculation. But if you've been a student like this, maybe the 12 were afraid to ask. Maybe because they were afraid to find out what the teacher meant. In other words, they understood enough to suspect that to know more might prove painful. Kind of like as one author was describing it, you know, some people approach a doctor appointment, maybe results from a recent lab or an exam are back in. And it doesn't sound very good. As a patient, you don't really understand the terms, the details, so what do you do? Some people say, "Doctor, what do you mean? What kind of osis was that? What kind of itis was that? What? Help me understand this." And or a certain kind of fear of understanding what that osis is. So you'd rather not ask. You've heard enough, at least for now. The truth behind the question might drive you to fear, too painful to consider right now. Maybe I'll peek at the internet for insight later on that. But I don't want to know. I have other plans. I have other dreams. I have ambitions. Again, verse 31. Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But, verse 32, but they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. Confusion? Yes. Fear? Yes, we're told. Other plans and ambitions? What do you mean? Well, evidently, if you look at me at the very next section, this isn't cheating. It's okay to peek ahead, and this will be next time, Lord willing. The students, right after this, right after 101, the students are arguing about who's the greatest. Verse 33, see that? Now, where did that come from? Could it be connected to this at all? Their confusion? And while you're peeking ahead, go ahead and peek a chapter ahead. Go ahead and look at chapter 10, verse 33 and 34. I'll read these. Jesus again saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles." Verse 34. "And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Lesson plan. That's the lesson plan. Taught again. Now, we could ask, is three times a charm? We have chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. What are the fearful, faith-struggling students learning about their master? And what are they learning about the master plan? Well, on this particular walk through Galilee on their way to Jerusalem, where these words would find fulfillment for sure, Jesus does what? He repeats the necessary lesson plan, the same plan that had been determined long ago by God, before the creation of the world, the one that would reveal the story in all its glory of a divine work where the divine one fills up his promise in his Son. God's salvation is good as done in Jesus. You see, but on that day, in this walk, the teacher is not done with his students. And he's not done with the work in them. He's not done with the work that's happening inside you or me, because that's in progress. We are disciples that still learn and get reminders verbally and visibly in word and in sacrament. We're going back to school. We hear it again and again. Today we even see it. Twice. The waters of baptism point you to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ. That's what these verses are. The supper tonight will give you a taste of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ. Again. And we're reminded that sinners are clean and set free, and that Jesus was delivered up for you. That's a good lesson plan. You need to learn it and hear it and see it and tell it. Because as you know, it is the gospel truth. Let's pray together. Lord, it is our privilege this day to come as disciples, as learners, called by your name and coming into your presence to hear again the good news of our complete salvation in Jesus Christ. Complete forgiveness, complete cleansing, complete lives because of the new life Jesus has purchased for us and placed in us by his Spirit. Lord, as students who forget and often struggle to learn and definitely struggle to take to heart the goodness of your gospel and how it speaks to and relates to every area of our lives, Lord, as those still in school and constantly going back to school, we thank you for your faithfulness to us as you teach us, as you remind us, and fill us anew with the Word and your Spirit. Lord, we need grace, and we want to walk and to grow in the knowledge of the one who was delivered up for our salvation. So this day, receive our praises, even as you teach us good news in Jesus' name. Amen.